Yeah.
It's the Cool Nerd Weed Show. That's yes.
And that's Sasha.
And we are live on Adobe Radio on a Monday. We did it. We are bi-coastal today. You can kind of tell that we're apart. We won't be though. Like, Jan's gonna come visit me. I'm in New York or New Jersey right now for the holiday, and TS is in lovely sunny LA.
Sunny, beautiful Whitley Heights, Los Angeles.
Get follow us on Twitter at Cool Nerd Weed and Instagram Cool Nerd Weed Show, and everywhere else just search Cool Nerd Weed Show. Yeah, because technology is great, and in life as well is great. We get to do this show by coastal, and it's true. Like, there was like there wasn't always a time where I could just set this up in my home office and like bust out a good sounding show. It wasn't like microphones were just not equipped for that. Like, so that's cool. And Adobe lets us do that. Thank you, Adobe, so much.
Thanks, and Adobe.
TS has been working. You said it wasn't busy on Thanksgiving at the shop.
We were busy in the morning, but mostly people were calling to make sure we were open, and then we were busy for the last minute shoppers on Thanksgiving before everybody headed to their family gatherings. They needed to get some cannabis to make the gathering more pleasant and enjoyable for all.
Makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
It does. Yeah. Cannabis was a big part of this holiday season, I think.
The Wednesday before is always traditionally crazy in the dispensary world.
Well, did you do sales?
Oh yeah, we did. Apparently it's a Green Wednesday.
Yes,
is the Wednesday. I sent you that.
Yeah,
yeah. So
I meant to send you that. I tweeted that.
We did a Green Wednesday sale, and it was slammed all day. People were super stoked. They were tipping like crazy. It was nice. We were making people happy all day.
That's always like,
yeah. Yeah, it was a good
part
day
of the holiday. Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice part of the holiday. It's like the appreciation for the industry. I do feel like that has been shining through more and more. Well, this is pretty good weed, whatever I'm smoking now.
Yeah, I've got that 420 Kingdom pre-98 Bubba. Oh,
that was so good.
And I'm super stoked. They killed it. They fucking
the only thing that I didn't love was that cocoa.
Well, yeah, I mean, two or three.
Actually, I didn't hate it after it like sat for a bit. So it just wasn't like a home run for me, but it was eventually the Bubba
marshmallow.
Marshmallow was just like just on point with their taste and just the effects, everything. Which like I have to say, like, being back in New Jersey, everything's great. Everything's cool. I love it. But I don't know what I would do if I lived here and didn't have access to it. Because I always say this, I'm definitely in a bubble in LA, even though sure. I come to New York a lot. I'm pretty equipped, and I know, you know, I'm a stoner my whole life. So I figure it out. But I miss having that access a lot. And that sounds like a very simple understatement, but it's hard to really communicate how available it is in LA. It is like no other. I mean, I don't know. I've never been to Denver, but it's like no other availability ever, you know, like, and I don't think even when the places pop up around here, it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be as
quite the same.
I don't know. Maybe it will. I just like, this week I was just like, oh, I miss LA. So like, I just missed the weed culture in LA very much this week. I feel like there's a limb missing when I'm not a part of the culture or I'm not like in it, you know? So I'm out here and I'm like, kind of like, oh, like there's all these things happening. And
I can walk out of my door, make a left, and a block and a half away, there is a place where I can buy cannabis until 10 p.m. tonight.
Yeah.
In case of an emergency.
Don't even need to worry about it. Just Google where it is. Just go on Weed Maps and you'll find it.
Or somebody will deliver.
It's like you ration, you know, like, and it sounds fucking elitist for me to be like, ooh, ration your weed. But like, when you're in LA, you know, it's especially when you work in it. I mean, and like, it's less available to us than it used to be. But like, when you're in the industry, like, obviously it's available to you. And, you know, I take advantage of that with abundance. So being out here, I do feel a little like a twinge of like homesickness for, not a twinge, a bunch of homesickness for LA, especially when thinking of the lack of access, safe access. So that is kind of a bummer.
But it's coming. It's slowly but surely. New Jersey and New York are coming on board. Yeah. It might not be next year.
I don't know. It might not be the year after that. I thought it would be here by now. I really did.
It should be. It should have happened by now. New York and New Jersey.
Well, you're going to come next week and we're going to.
We're going to go try to find. We're going to live stream the entire event. And we're going to go into the borough of Manhattan. I'm going to have my Ray-Ban glasses, camera glasses on.
I don't think selling weed is legal over there yet. Smoking it is, but I don't think selling that.
It's probably a bad idea. We're not going to go live, but we're going to go and we're going to do some investigative reporting.
And don't do anything illegal, by the way. Cool Nerd Weed Show does not condone any stupid shit. So just don't do stupid shit.
Like, yeah, that's right.
It's fucking it. But yeah, TS will be in New York next week. Excuse me. We're very excited to do that. We're going to do a Cool Nerd Weed Show takes New York again. In the winter, in the cold. I don't know why I like made you come. I was like, no, you have to visit me. I don't care.
At Christmas. I don't know if I'm prepared for it. I do have like, I still own.
We're going to be tourists. Of fuck,
East Coast gear, winter gear.
You're going to have to get it. You're going to have to get that.
I'm going to have to dust it off. Dust off my pea coat. The triple fat goose and my
Triple fat goose.
And yeah.
You're going to have to. It's fucking cold. It's like 40 degrees now, but it's going to be colder. It's cold. I don't ever want. I want you to definitely yell at me when I'm complaining about the cold in LA when it's like 65 degrees. Like, definitely be like, shut the fuck up.
It's like, it's like 69 degrees and everybody's like bundled up.
I am too. I'm always bitching about it in the winter, but no, I'm so sick. I'm already so sick. I haven't even been here a week and I'm like over it. I'm like, no, this is the fucking worst. I hate it.
I'm getting acclimated because I get up early and it's like 59 degrees and I get on my scooter and I fly to work. And that chill factor, the 59 degree chill factor.
It's cold.
It is cold. I'm slowly getting prepared. I have long underwear.
Yes.
Big fat socks.
I need it. Who knows? It might even snow.
Oh, what?
I don't think so. But it was like a little snowy.
I was wondering if it was going to snow while I was there.
And you're all excited, fucking weirdo buffalo.
I am excited.
12 feet of snow every winter. I mean, I grew up here, so you'd think I'd be okay with it. But I was talking to my mom today. I was like, this is the pits. I hate this.
It's been, I'm going to say, almost 10 years since I've experienced an East Coast, a Northeastern winter.
Mm.
Even though it's early winter. It's still winter.
It's winter. I mean, it's not. I guess it's not winter yet, but
late fall. It might as well.
Yeah,
be
it's late. It's late fall.
The, northeast.
All I know is like it's 4:30 and it's fucking dark and windy and there's like glass ice shards falling from the sky. Today I was like walking the dogs and you can't really like. I used to like walk the dogs and like smoke my one hitter, but I guess like I don't feel the need to do that anymore. So I don't really smoke much when I walk the pups. Anyway, there was like a fucking raccoon. I literally looked at it and I thought it was a cat at first. And was like, no, that's too big to be a cat.
Wearing a mask.
In my brains. I was like a cat, like a bandit. I was like, what the fuck? And it was fucking huge. And
it was a raccoon?
It was a fucking raccoon. Bigger than Rudy. Bigger than my dog, Rudy. Damn, I'm not even kidding. In the middle, you know, like I live on a fucking thoroughfare. Like it's like.
Yeah, for sure. Where did it come from? The sewer?
Like there was like a lot of it came from it came from the Dunkin' Donuts sewer, just like moseyed its way across the street, looked both ways, like fucking out of like a Dr. Seuss book. And then I was like, I was like, that's bigger than a cat. Oh my God, the thing was huge. It must have been pregnant or something. And then like, just when I thought it was a cat, it didn't jump. It like raccooned and like got like all like flat like on the wall and like crawled its way up. I was like,
I don't know. Maybe nature is taking back over, because when I showed up to work early one day and there was a coyote.
Oh yeah, you said that. Yeah, maybe. I mean, we haven't had a shutdown yet, but
it's like that's a weird looking dog. Oh, that's a coyote.
My mom said she did see like a lot of rodents around, like a lot of like over by the river. I don't know. Maybe they're trying.
Nature will eventually win.
I heard there was a new variant.
We're ready to move back in. We're coming.
We're going back. Okay, well, on to weed. You know, TS and I haven't seen each other in a week, so this was literally just us catching up.
Thanks for joining us.
For that. It's weird not seeing like your best friend for a week. So I'm glad we did that. And I'm going to smoke more weed. And now we're going to talk about Kentucky. When I wasn't planning on talking about Kentucky, but when I opened my internet to talk about the news, is it came up.
Yeah, this is good. This is good news. We're making some progress in the South. Kentucky.
Well, you know, it is definitely like, I drove across country and don't ever travel with any amount of illicit or illegal.
It's a bad idea. It's a bad idea for sure.
Do not do it. Listen to the nerds. We know what we're talking about. Don't you fucking do it, because the South does not fuck around.
Not at all.
To their rules about drugs. They don't. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do. It really doesn't. So please, we advise you in this traveling time. Do not ever deal with it. Go on a tolerance break. You'll be better for it. I promise you. Your first fucking hit back will be like, mwah, mwah, mwah. You know, like that's all I kept thinking. That's all I kept thinking was like, it was like 4 days. It was 4 days. 4 days. The first day I was like, I was like losing it. I was losing it. I had a stash here. So I was
that's like, always good.
It was like waiting for me. So I like, that's all I kept thinking of was the drawer it was in.
On the left.
Weed is not, we know it's not addictive, but we do know that your brain forms a habit, and a tolerance break is actually, it's not, I don't recommend it, but it is recommended. And I also, the first hit, like that first, like I did a bong rip and it was to the moon.
the Rick and Morty bong.
The big Rick and Morty bong. And it was the best feeling. So if you have to drive through the South, if you have to travel at all over state lines, I beg you, do not have any weed.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
If I can do it, miss fucking 200 milligrams a day,
then you can do it too.
Even you. So Kentucky, all that to say is that, who knows? Kentucky's. Maybe weed will be illegal in all these places and we'll be like, yay. But until then, it's not. So fucking don't do it. But yeah, Kentucky, I guess they're pre-filing bills to legalize possession, limited sales, home cultivation, I hear Kentucky has like good weed, right?
Kentucky. Okay. So yes, Kentucky is filing bills to legalize possession in 2022. But the good news is there's great news. This is good news.
Yay.
Right. Kentucky has great cannabis. They have a beautiful climate to grow.
I've heard that.
To grow cannabis.
I've heard their like edibles are like on point.
You know, and also, I don't know. There's even though Kentucky's sort of anti, like there's people, there's farmers, there's people that enjoy cannabis.
There's a big like southern weed cannabis culture that you kind of like don't even think because of what I'm saying, I'm just like, don't travel with drugs because it's low tolerance. However,
Kentucky is like
the weed market is actually big.
The green triangle of the South.
Yes. Like, yes. Yes.
It's the southern green triangle is where, so there's a lot of great,
I would love to smoke Kentucky
cannabis
weed
coming out of Kentucky.
That's really exciting.
Homegrown. Like these people have like been doing it for forever.
That's like where That's where you look to when you want to defer to the authority in farming. You look to a place with the most beautiful climate and cultivation skills, like Kentucky. It's what it's what
they're moonshining. It's great. They're like making the moonshine. They're growing the cannabis,
the bluegrass,
and the blue. Yeah, the bluegrass state. You know,
I
once Kentucky
to try goes Kentucky legal weed all yes, day
for sure.
Wasn't justified. Like, didn't they have like a Kentucky weed element?
They did. They did. Was that Kentucky or Nashville? I thought it was like the, they were like around there, but yeah, they did have there was a weed element in justified. I think it was Kentucky. Yeah. Kentucky. Oh, there was the Dixie Mob.
Dixie Mob. Yeah. Mafia. With that actor who I hear is a jerk. Yeah. This is the season of American Heart.
Yeah.
Kentucky. AU.
I don't know if I've actually ever been able to get cannabis in Kentucky. I think I feel like I've looked and I've always heard rumors that I feel like I've had enough when I've gone there, but if somebody offered when we were in Kentucky, I would have jumped. I haven't done too many shows in Kentucky, actually, which is weird. I mean, I don't know how weird it is. It's like,
yeah, I don't know how like, weird it is.
It's not like a huge, I don't know. There's like a lot of weird big cities.
All these like rock bands don't perform in Kentucky. And these punk bands aren't doing major stadiums.
Lexington. There was like a Lexington hardcore band. Endpoint. From Kentucky.
Yeah, you may have like told me about them during my drive.
I'll point out, I ask you where you are.
I sent you my location because I turned my location on.
And I send you some fun fact about where you are.
Yeah. Yes, you always do. Or like a song quote or something. one year you sent me just like song quotes or something, or like just like random sayings like
oh yeah, you've got a friend in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I actually, it was like we made good time this year. But yeah, the weed thing, you never see. It's weird because you in Texas, like you'll see billboards, it's like, and it'll be
anti,
like, got weed, and then it'll have like handcuffs, and it'll be like, we can bail you out, or like lawyers who are,
oh, they're just playing on the, like, yeah,
weed charge or something. So stupid.
And that always makes your butthole pucker when you're driving through Texas and you're like, you see the got weed and the handcuffs.
With the handcuffs. Like, and I'm like, oh my God, no, I don't.
No, I don't. No.
I swear, I don't. Like, I don't. That is like one thing that I'm like, that's easily avoidable and I don't need it. But Kentucky, they're going in the right direction. Still don't travel across state lines, but yeah. but that's the right direction and I'm glad. What were we going to talk about next?
That's a good question.
California testing.
Oh yeah. It was the labeling of edibles or cannabis or testing. Let's go testing.
Yeah, we'll talk about the labeling next.
Yes. Okay. So California has plans to standardize its cannabis testing statewide. Let's discuss.
Yeah. Elaborate.
So there's no standards for cannabis testing in California.
Well, yeah. And yeah. It's all kind of all over the map, right? Like,
yeah, everybody's doing it.
They're just like, yeah.
There's several methods actually for testing. There's like a liquid, what's it like, chromatograph.
Right.
And then there's like a gas one too. So there's like two different ways to do this.
That's and,
you know, if you test, like we've talked about this before, if you test like part of a plant and then you test another part of a plant, you're going to get different tests,
different results. Yeah.
Different results, test results either way.
Yeah. It's like, it's nature. It, you know, things are like ever evolving. This is actually interesting because there was always like rumors that, or, you know, flat out like accusations that certain lab companies were like tossing a few other percentages to,
inflating their test results.
Yeah, inflating. And like, I can't remember if that was California or not. I think it was.
For sure.
All theirs
as well.
That was like a big deal. So this actually kind of eliminates the possibility of like buying off a lab, right? Like if it's standardized,
they're going to standardize them and then do a challenge test once the rules of standardization are in play. And this is all sort of being led by UCSD, the University of California, San Diego, is involved in this. Just interesting. The party school.
Is it? I don't know.
Allegedly. Here's like one of the other things that you, most labs will test 3 times and then take the average. But everything's been testing so high lately. I'm like insanely high. Like they do cannabis, total cannabinoids. And I've seen peaking in the 40%. And then I've seen 38% THC as well. And people are coming in and they want that really high THC. But if it's if people are able to, sort of shop for lab tests that are, if they're shopping for lab tests, they're like, I'm not going to use this lab anymore because my flower is just coming out way too low.
They're coming out lower than I want them.
I really wanted. And if everything's like, testing super high, then I can sell it faster.
And so also, like, if you're going to create a test, somebody's going to find a way to pass it or to exceed expectations. If like fucking your mom's lab is like, we do the test this way, this is yielding high results, you're going to cheat the system in some way because you're going to know how to. So if you standardize it, I guess you could do the same, but like, I do feel like it will help tame that a little bit. Cause it is getting like crazy. I don't know what is and what isn't the highest percentage. I know that if you're a new person smoking weed, you're not going to want to go near 40%. That does help you understand what the dosage is, I guess. But also I don't know what the benefit of breaking 30 with our weed right now. I think it also kind of drives reefer madness a little bit into the air because you have people saying, I smoked that really high percentage weed and I fucking had an episode. And I just think like, I think it's too flashy and I don't think that we need to be saying that we broke 40%. I think those resources would be better used to making consistent and high yielding. I am absolutely guilty of shopping by percentage.
Oh, for sure.
Because there's no other way to shop for weed right now. Other than, and when you're getting it, from a delivery service, you can't smell it. You know what I mean? I'm just going by what I,
some brand recognition.
There's no pictures ever that are like updated.
Oh yeah. It's like stock photo on every delivery service.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what I'm getting?
So it's like
file photo.
So I don't know. I feel like the labs, like knowing what, having an accurate read and not, not being a lab that's like selling their results to be higher or upselling them. It adds integrity, I guess, to the testing process that I think might be necessary. Just seeing all the high testing things, it's kind of out of control.
There have been a few labs that have been busted, I think in probably every legal state, that have been inflating and also been accused, found that it has been true that they've been taking money, bribes to inflate and fudge results.
Because if you can, you're going to. Like, that's just like,
it's human nature.
Unfortunately, that's the way it is with these types of things. And I think when it comes to weed, it shouldn't be guesswork. It shouldn't be like, duh, it should be a standardized fucking test. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, it should have been the whole time.
Yeah. So there's going to be 2 state run labs that are going to establish the operational protocol and sort of a blueprint for every other testing lab in the state. They're probably going to have some, machines. All these machines need to be calibrated too. Like that's another thing. Like you have to have a zero measurement before you can,
right?
You know, is your machine calibrated? It's going to go under like weights and measures. Like they go to the gas station and they make sure that you're actually getting a gallon of gas. Like those things are measured.
Right. And like,
when you go to the butcher shop, you go to the deli, they want to make sure you're getting a pound of cheese, and that pound is a pound and not a, you know, 3/4 of a pound.
I guess also like false positives were a thing too.
For pesticides and.
Yeah. I guess like that was like kind of a problem.
I've heard of some labs. Yeah. You know, anything, it's testing.
That'll fuck up.
A false positive for pesticides. You're like, I don't do anything.
Oh my God. That's like a nightmare.
So you've got 100 pounds of cannabis and it tests positive for something you have no idea how it even got there. You're like, you got to burn it.
Right.
100 pounds. It's got to go to the incinerator.
Right. It's like all that product is just, it's just being moved to weird, you know, in weird places. And like, I don't know. It definitely like, it could help some stuff. I don't know. Yeah. I guess like,
this is all,
labs feel like they should be giving back like high THC levels to certain companies. And if they don't, then they're not going to get business. And that's not how testing should be. It just should be what it is.
This is interesting. You know, good old Gavin Newsom's put this in a bill, and this is going to roll out really like, I don't know, it's going to be roll out in about a year.
It is interesting.
And you know, it's also going to change the parameters of testing for edibles as well. So they're going to be, there's only going to be, right now apparently there's a 12% plus or minus margin of error, and they're going to roll that down to 10%. Yeah, to
10%. 12% is pretty high.
I think that's pretty high too. Yeah. That each serving cannot, it is really high. Is, you're wondering why some edibles hit you like harder, really harder, and some are like, oh, they're like, you're like, that one didn't hit at all, and it feels kind of weak.
That's crazy.
You know, but consistency and integrity need to be maintained. So I don't know. Thanks, Gavin.
I wouldn't go that far, but okay. Yeah. I'm just kidding. No, that's good. That's good news. This is good. Yeah, that's good. We're going to play some music and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about, oh yeah, this is something that just annoys us. This is more integrity.
Integrity is important.
Yeah, especially the nerds. Okay, we'll be right back.
It's the Cool Nerd Weed Show with TS and Sasha. Don't panic. It's organic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're back.
And we're back.
It's the Cool Nerd Weed Show. After Hours on Adobe Radio. That's TS.
And that's Sasha.
And we're live. We are live. We like to be live every single Monday. We might take a week off, another week off for the holiday, but it feels like a long time when we're not here.
It does. It feels like an eternity.
Talk about the cannabis news. So much going on.
Always.
I thought 2021 was actually going to be more productive than it was because of all the, you know, all the recreationals that was like New York and New Jersey and everything. Like, I just thought we were going to have more access. I'm a little disappointed with that, to be honest, if you want me to be honest with you.
I don't think
you want me to lie to you.
If we're doing a 2021 recap.
No, not yet. We still have like 2 weeks, 3 weeks for that, but we will do that.
We do. But, you know, it has been disappointing.
Yeah, like
progress, you know,
we're still talking about it, which is good. But like, I just thought there was going to be so much more. People are still into it. It's more, less. OK, like, I don't want to be an asshole. Obviously, it's like better than ever in terms of like acceptance and stigma and stuff like that. But that's not saying much.
No, cannabis
still
is
people in jail. Like
cannabis is caught up in politics and red tape still.
Still, very much so. People are not expunged. Yeah, there's still people who don't think cannabis records should be expunged. So there's people who don't think, there's people who think people should be in jail for cannabis. So we still have like a ways to go. And I'm like a little bit, it'll be fine. It'll be great. Things will be great. But, and we're in a great time in our lifetime. But I am like, man, huh, I thought that would be better. But that's just my opinion. And I don't want to be a frowny face.
Things can always
Debbie Downer, sour
better.
Puss.
Right?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Have we reached the peak of perfection?
But I just mean in terms of like, we thought this was going to be, wow. This is
the year. Yeah. Yeah.
But, and it was in a lot of ways.
We've made a lot of breakthroughs.
Yes.
But we still have work as the cannabis community has work to do. We still have work to do.
I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I always, after the show, I'm always like, was I too negative? I'm not. No, I take it
all back. We're making progress, but there's still work to do. And that's what you're saying.
It's why we do this show. So yeah, cannabis, keep fucking up so we can have the show forever. just kidding. we're going to talk about the edibles. Okay. So
edibles?
This is
edibles.
Interesting topic. We have a full segment to talk about it. So we love, just disclaimer, we love the edibles that we, our go-to edibles. So like we love Lost Farms. We love Kiva so much. This is not a hashtag ad. This is just because it's going to sound
this
like
is just true.
Them. And we're not shit talking. But we are the nerds and we are honest. That's why we do the show. But we love, love, love Kiva with our whole hearts. However, we have noticed that in our edibles, and that Kiva's not just the only one. There's just all the only one I can think of, but in edibles that claim to use distillate as their edible as their like source of cannabis, also say that they are strain specific.
Here's the big question.
Is Lost Farm saying that they're distillate though?
No.
No.
But here's not distillate. Lost Farms is live resin.
Live resin.
Can edibles be strain specific, or is that all BS?
Right.
I've been asking this question all week at work. I've been crowdsourcing.
If you're using like live resin, right?
Well, like, yeah, there's a difference. Most edibles are made with distillate.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like when you,
yeah.
So, if you're saying you're strain specific and you're also making your edibles with distillate, then I don't believe you because distillate is not, you're stripping. Distillate is when you get pure or when you strip weed from all of the things that make strains specific.
Yes.
Is not in distillate.
By the time you've processed cannabis into distillate, it's just THC, and it can be up to 90%. We have extraction artists that we know, hopefully they'll be on the show sooner or later, and they have it was 90%+.
Yeah, but it wasn't
sativa or indica. It's homogenized, and at that point edibles, there's no terpenes in it. It's just THC.
But like live resin does. So like if you have like wedding cake live resin and you make your gummy with it, then
that it would be strain specific towards that strain. So however that specific strain might make you feel. Yeah. Okay. Here's like a whole nother thing that most are made with distillate, but even the ones that are made with live resin, what is the bioavailability of the actual terpene profile? Like, will that absorb into your, versus smoking it, will it absorb into your system and make you feel energetic or relaxed or, you know, any of the feelings between indica and sativa? Will that actually make you feel one way or the other? Is it psychosomatic? If you're just getting
like heating it, so like, I mean, that's another element of taking away the effects. It's gonna get you high. I mean, it is what it is. But like, I don't know. I don't know. I guess like I have a hard time buying it. that edibles are strain specific. I'm not trying to talk shit on any of the ones that say they are, but it seems like to me, and like, honestly, I do not. I mean, there's some times where maybe my body reacts differently to different things and my body processes different things, you know, depending on what it is, but I in no way am like, oh yeah, it was like some bomb wedding cake, you know, like when I eat something that's said, I don't know, for some reason, all I can think of is wedding cake, but yeah, I just find that to be difficult to prove or do.
Okay. So we've had edibles that are made of distillate. We've had, which is most edibles, we've had the Lost Farms that are made of live resin. And then we've had the Papa and Barkley that are made with solventless.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And also the Wonder Bret edibles, the gummies that are made with solventless extract as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the two, the Papa and Barkley and the Wonder Bret, actually taste like cannabis, mm-hmm. and they're delicious. And I feel like they hit you harder. They hit me.
No, they did. I feel like they did. Yeah, way. I was definitely like faster, stronger. Yeah, like I, more, like, yeah, yeah. Like I, it was definitely more something. For
I
sure.
feel like to me, it's a more well-rounded high.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I love the Lost Farms, but like, I definitely like get
like the live resin them. As well too, but like distillate edibles.
But distillate, I'd
they
not,
serve a purpose.
Yeah, and like obviously it's fine, but yeah, I just feel like that if you're an edible company and you're saying that you're sativa or whatever, and you make your shit from distillate, then I have to say it's just marketing, and that sucks. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, you know? Here's a quote, and we've had the can of edibles, and they don't label. We have to tell everybody that they're like it's a hybrid because they don't label strain specific. It's canna. K-A-N-E-H.
Mm-hmm.
And they're one of their people, Rachel King, says it's extremely frustrating to see brands use distillate and claim strain specific effects. And I happen to agree with her.
Yeah, I don't believe
on this point.
Yeah.
It's you know, like people come in all day. And they get certain
because people are going to believe what you tell them. I mean, they don't know better. Yeah, they don't know what distillate is. You know what I mean? Like they only know what like they, whatever, you know, they see on the surface. Like, so if you say something and it's like, oh yeah, distillate, I know distillate hits me hard. So then like, it is a bummer. Like, I don't know. I guess when I take the solventless ones, they do hit harder, but I wouldn't say one is indica and one is sativa or one is strain. I can't be like, I just ate an OG. Like I can't, I'm sorry.
Or I just
think that's bullshit. It's bullshit. It like is.
Eating the Blue Dream gummies or whatever.
Come on.
The Mad Cobra. Here's a whole nother thing. Here's a whole nother thing that's just been popping up recently is Dr. Norm. I love their cookies. We used to get them delicious. Back in the day.
Amazing.
They've got totally. They're new. They've got a newer line, new to me. I don't know. It's probably been out for a minute, and they're adding like guarana for the sativa one, and they're adding kava. I think it's kava.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or the more chill one, and then it's a lot of edible companies for their nighttime. They're adding melatonin. The melatonin, not really feeling on its own. I don't really even want to mix it with my cannabis.
No, I don't.
Guarana.
I like the CBNs. They're really nice. With CBNs, the melatonin, it's fine. Yeah. But like what do you call it? What's that brand that we like? Wild.
With the Wild.
Do that, those two. And so does.
But they don't add melatonin to theirs. They do the CBN. Is there melatonin?
No, they don't do the melatonin. Sorry. Okay. They do the lavender. The what's the other one? It's a Kiva, the Camino.
The Caminos, yeah.
Camino doesn't melt, right?
No, no, that's just CBNs. Those are just CBNs.
Who doesn't know?
What the fuck was it?
I'm sorry to these grants, and I'm totally fucking up. I swear to God, I'm better than
it. It was like Fuzzy. I think it was called Fuzzy.
Fuck yeah, that shit had the
and
melatonin.
I gave that. Why did yeah, I think I gave you a melatonin person? One?
I didn't like
and
it.
And you were like,
at
it
all.
Was away from me.
I gave it back. I threw it at you in your face. I was like, don't you fucking ever do that again.
How dare you?
We wanted to talk before because we have to take a break soon, but we want to talk about the labeling really quick, right? Or do you want to save that, or do you want to talk about that?
Let's do it.
Okay. So, we only have a few minutes though, so I know really, you want to get off your chest.
Okay, I do. I gotta get off. I gotta get this out.
Okay, so I'm just really gonna be quiet.
Really,
I fucked this whole segment up. So you
did not. Something that's really been pissing me off is
it's grinding
labeling. It's really grinding my gears. Is labeling where the origin of cannabis, how the cultivation method.
I can't believe that this is actually like an issue. When you were talking to me about it pre-show, I was like, wait, what? Like, I thought I did not know this was an issue. Proceed.
Because
this is crazy. This is fucking crazy.
They don't, companies, unless you're totally proud that your cannabis is sun grown, then they're not labeling whether it's sun grown, greenhouse, or indoor. And you know, some are labeling premium indoor when I don't know, they throw that word premium around a lot. Anyway, this is what I want in my world. I want the company to label how it's grown, indoor, sun grown, or outdoor, or greenhouse, or even mixed lumen, which is a combination of greenhouse. It is basically a greenhouse, but you're adding supplemental lights.
What is the most commonly?
Right now, I believe there's a lot of greenhouse grown. There's a lot of greenhouse.
So I feel like that would probably be the one that's least likely to be labeled.
To be labeled, yeah.
It's that standard, industry standard.
The largest commercially grown cannabis is
right. It's probably going to be greenhouse. Whatever you're smoking probably is greenhouse.
There's a good chance.
You can tell even if you're not like a seasoned smoker, if it's sun grown. Maybe if you are, if you aren't, maybe not. But like, I feel like it's like very easily spottable. And I would be bummed if that wasn't labeled. That would bum me out if I was surprised by that. And I wouldn't be stoked. I mean,
people specifically come in that ask for sun grown,
right? 100%.
And
100%.
You want to be able to direct them to the proper channels. And if something
I would be
that's,
pissed. Yeah, something I would be pissed if I thought something was and it wasn't, and vice versa. I would be pissed. That's not good, like practice, at all.
Yeah, there's no standard for that in California right
there
now.
There should be.
Absolutely. And that's what really grinds my gears.
There should be. Sorry again to all the brands that I just like made shit up about. But bottom line is, if you're an edible brand and you're saying you have distillate and you're saying you're strain specific, you lie. If you do not have that you're sun grown and we open it up and that shit looks and smells sun grown, you lie. So get it together with the labeling. Just like be transparent. Say what you are. People want that, you know, like if you can deliver on a strain specific edible, do that. If you could be sun grown, say that, you know, but I don't see the need for all this wishy-washy stuff.
It's called integrity, people. Integrity.
It's called integrity. Let's try it. Okay. I'm going to take a big break. And then we're going to come back with more. Oh God, it's such a bummer. This is like a true, it's going to be a true Huff and Puff. Okay, we'll be right back.
The final Huff and Puff with TS and Sasha.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is the final Huff and Puff.
Indeed.
Indeed, it is. It is the final Huff and Puff with TS and Sasha. That is us. We're back on the Cool Nerd Weed Show. So this is like a super bummer. Super bummer. I guess in a bunch of places, it's not just like one place. They found fentanyl in weed. That if that's not something to huff and puff about, I don't know what is.
Connecticut. Somehow in Connecticut, someone is lacing their cannabis with fentanyl.
Now
it's
tested positive in like a lab, which sounds it all sounds like very far-fetched. Like it sounds very like crazy, but because I mean nobody died yet. Like they were able to be revived on, you know, very specific things that people who are overdosing on fentanyl usually need. And like if it wasn't confirmed, I don't know, because it's like I feel like these people are like, I don't smoke, you know, or I didn't do any opioids, but like I mean, if that's what's happening, then it's all the more reason to get weed from a reputable source. You know, it's hard when you're in a place where it's not legal, as we were mentioning in the beginning of the show.
I have so many questions. Number one, who is lacing cannabis with fentanyl? I've never heard of such a fucking thing since like the 80s when they did like, it was like a scared straight tactic where they're like, oh, you don't do anything. Yeah. It could be laced with elephant tranquilizers. And
yeah.
You know, and number two, is this like a sensationalized story, just some reefer madness bullshit going on right now?
It could be because I mean, that's why, like, I don't know, I guess like we'll give it some time. It was on like a couple like social medias that we follow, and it's like, this is like, you know, I think it's a normal website, so like it seems like it's legit. I don't want it to be, but like it's the, and if it's not, then what the fuck? Don't be saying something like this. But also, like, who's doing this?
I know. My third question is how do you not see it? How do you not know? Like, what? How are you getting it? It comes in the form of a flower in a bud. Where are you putting the fentanyl? How are you getting it on there? How are you getting it to stick? It doesn't taste funny to you when you're smoking it.
I mean, who knows? You know, like people don't know what weed tastes like.
Yeah, you're right.
How do people know what weed tastes like?
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Like, I've had some people come to California and they're like, ah, the flavors here are just, you know, like unmatched.
Having access to it and like smoking shitty weed that has seeds in it and like, you don't know.
Whatever you got, yeah. I've had some questionable flavors. So,
yeah,
I mean, like, maybe I could have fallen into that. That is, so that's the whole, coming back around, the whole point is that in Connecticut, and they're going to soon, they're going to have access to tested and legal cannabis.
Mm-hmm. Which is insane. That's crazy. And,
yeah,
that's like,
it's about time. Connecticut, would you ever think that Connecticut would have
fentanyl in their weeds?
Fentanyl.
No, I didn't know they got down like that. Oh, you mean like legal weed?
Well, I've been in New Haven. I believe that that's totally possible. Anything you're getting in New Haven is it's questionable.
I don't go that direction.
I've been, there's been done many hardcore shows in New Haven.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, be careful if you're getting weed, you know, and you're out east, it's probably not going to be from a dispensary unless you're in Massachusetts. So just be careful. Know who, like, know your plug and don't buy illegal stuff if it's coming from the Cool Nerd Weed Show's mouth. Truly. I mean, it's hard, but all the more reason, especially like, let's say you're out in California and you're in a place that doesn't, you know, you're in fucking Malibu and you can't get weed, go drive the extra few miles to, you know, a dispensary, your local dispensary, get it, it's worth it. It's worth going out of your way to get some legal weed that's been tested for fucking fentanyl.
Who does this? What kind of fucking monster laces your cannabis with fentanyl?
The The worst type. That's the worst type.
Horrible.
It does sound like something that your mom used to say to you, though.
Yeah,
like,
totally. Yeah.
Don't, you know. And it's like what used to be recreational is no longer. You need to be safe and take care of yourself and make sure you're getting your drugs illicit or not from reputable sources and that they're tested. And there's ways to do that. We just want you to be safe here on the Cool Nerd Weed Show. And that's our show. So follow us on Twitter at Cool Nerd Weed. Follow us everywhere else, Cool Nerd Weed Show, including Instagram. And we will be live again next week and on the same coast. It's going to be a good reuniting, and I can't wait to see you in person again. And
don't panic.
It's organic. Okay, start.